see the Michael Clay quote about Devin White?
October, what a ridiculous baseball game yesterday afternoon in Atlanta. Welcome back, Midday Show. And with that, Hugh, that put the Mets in the playoffs. And then the second part of the doubleheader, the Braves won that game because the Mets kind of laid down. So that means the Diamondbacks are out.
That's crazy.
Both teams that played in last year's World Series missed the playoffs. No Texas, no Arizona in the playoffs this year. And Hugh, it starts today. The Wild Card Series starts today. And our eyes, at least mine, are going to be on the Mets and the Brewers series because the winner of that three-game set is coming here to Philadelphia Saturday night. All right, let's get on the record here. Who do you want? Hugh Douglas, Saturday, Phillies against Mets or Brewers. Who do you want to play?
You know what? I was thinking initially, I was thinking the Mets because of the simplicity of travel and everything and the fact that, like I said, it's that close. But I'm thinking more the Brewers. I like the matchup against the Brewers, so I'm going to say Brewers.
So the Brewers have been the better team this year. They have been, you know, a better record. They won their division, the better run differential. Like, I get they're a good team, and they're well-coached, well-managed. They run the bases well. Yet I would rather face the Brewers. There's something about the Mets that I don't want to see. Like, every year there's a team that is dead in June, and then they get hot.
They resurge.
And last 2 years ago was the Phillies. A team like Arizona.
You're worried about
last
the
year.
Momentum. The momentum factor.
I never want to give the Mets credit, but they have a weird vibe going on where they're never dead. Like they were dead yesterday. Like they blew the lead in the eighth inning, and they come back in the ninth, and Lindor hits a home run. And the other thing, and maybe I'm misinterpreting this, and maybe everyone here already got the tickets, and they're going to keep the tickets. We saw what happened when the Knicks played the Sixers, and though there were a lot of Knicks fans down here. I don't want a great home field advantage that we have to be mitigated by, I don't know, 5,000-10,000 Mets fans. Like, if it's the Brewers, it's not going to be any Brewers fans here. There's no
they
real...
might travel, but they're not going to travel that deep.
Right. There's not really Brewers fans. Like, there'd be like 100 people here that maybe like the Brewers. It doesn't matter. They'll get drowned out by, you know, thousands and thousands of Phillies fans. I'd rather face the Brewers, even though I acknowledge, like, just player for player, they've had a better season, better team. It starts tonight. Kyle, who do you want, Mets or Brewers on Saturday?
I want the Mets.
Okay.
I'm not afraid of the Mets like you are.
Well, no, afraid's not the right word.
No, smell a little bit of fear.
They got
over there.
They
got the vibes.
They do have that vibe. They do.
Okay, but that doesn't give me any reason to be afraid of the Mets coming in here. The Brewers pitching staff has kind of had this team's number. And if there's one thing I'm worried about with the Phillies, it's our bats getting shut down and going cold. Like
they have better pitching than the Mets.
And plus, if you think about it this way, the Mets are in potentially a spot where they will have to play, what, 4 games in 5 days or 5 games in 4 days? Especially if you throw in that Monday doubleheader.
It could be up by Saturday. It could be six this week.
If they play to Thursday, they are going to be cooked by the time they get here. And look, I get the whole New York fans thing. The best way for that not to be a factor is to just win the game. Kick their ass. They won't say a peep. In fact, they'll probably leave earlier because they're cockroaches.
That might be true, yeah.
So, yeah. Like, I'm not concerned with the Mets thing. It's honestly the Brewers and their pitching staff that worries me a little bit more.
Well, the Brewers pitching is good. They have a deeper pitching staff. I mean, I agree with that. The Mets do hit for more power. I mean, and they have familiarity, though, with the Phillies pitchers. Like, they see Nola all the time. Like, they know him. I think the Phillies are going to beat either team, Hugh. I don't think they're going to lose in this first round.
No doubt in my mind.
And we're going to ratchet up the Phillies content coming up a lot, especially on Thursday, as we're going to have a station-wide event. I can't wait for Thursday coming up here, Hugh, because we're going to be at Chickies and Pete's as a station.
Hanging out.
The whole day, morning to night, and we're going to get this thing ramped up. Our Red October Rally. Join us Thursday morning, starting with the morning show, live at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly for a special all-day WIP broadcast celebrating the return of Red October. Apparently, according to my email here, there's going to be a big special station announcement Thursday at 8:40.
What's happening?
Well, I asked. I was told I have to wait for Thursday.
I get nervous when they be announced.
I think you're good. All right. As well as Phillies guests all day on WIP, Phillies Red October Rally this Thursday, Chickies at Pete's, 1526 Packer Ave in South Philly. So come join us Thursday. Be there for all the shows. Be there for every show, morning, midday, afternoon. It's going to be a great day as we get ready for the playoffs. But on the record, I would rather face the Brewers. I like to avoid that team that has that weird six seed, get hot vibe in October. Give me Milwaukee. I mean, the Milwaukee series would also be you mentioned the rivalry with the Mets, how close they are, right?
Yes.
So if it's the Brewers, we get the Rhys Hoskins angle as Reese comes back here to
Philadelphia. Yeah, man, and that'd be pretty cool to see. Well, not if he's doing well.
Well, no, I want to strike him out
I definitely want to strike him out. But, you know, just come back and see the fans' reaction to him
yep.
and having that series going. So, yeah, I like that. I think I like the Brewers better.
So the full NL picture, obviously, is the Mets and Brewers on our side of the bracket, and then it's going to be the Padres and the Braves on the other side, and the winner will take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Last thing, and then back to your phone calls on Sirianni and all this. Yesterday, Chris Sale didn't pitch. Chris Sale's hurt. He missed his last couple starts of the season, and they kept backing him up, and they were saying, well, we're saving him in case we need him. Well, that was a lie. He has a back injury, and that's why they weren't pitching him.
Tidy back.
He does have tidy back. He's not going to pitch in this wild card. I think the Braves are on running on fumes here. I think San Diego's going to beat them. But because Sale didn't pitch, that NL Cy Young conversation is interesting, whether or not Wheeler did enough at the end of the season to catch Chris Sale. Maybe Chris Sale, he couldn't finish. He couldn't get to the finish line.
He won the Triple Crown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to
23
say.
23 less innings, less quality starts.
I know, but when's the last time a pitcher won the Triple Crown and didn't win the Cy Young?
I don't think it's ever happened.
Okay.
Yeah, I would guess he wins, but I think the vote might be not as overwhelming as it looked a month ago.
Yeah, maybe. I would like to see Wheeler get some votes. I'm not expecting him to beat Chris Sale.
Way more quality starts.
I know. Look.
And he got to the finish line.
Joe, if it were me, I would vote for Zach Wheeler because I hate the Braves. Chris Sale's a jerk. And I like making
it personal.
I do, yeah.
It feels better.
I would take all of those votes personally. But I'm with you. Like, some of the numbers sort of favor Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
But he's not going to win.
I think you're right. And if I had to guess right now, I'd guess it's still going to be Sale. I just think it's a little closer than it looked a month ago. 215-592-9494. Did I also have a bet before the season on Wheeler that I want to cash? Yeah.
Again, this is personal.
It's always personal.
When it's like that, it definitely is personal. It's personal.
I just want the money. All right, Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Bruce.
All right. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's everybody doing
what's
today?
Going on,
hey, Bruce.
Doing?
What's up, pal?
Hey, man. I can't call it, man. I'm just calling in to chime in on this discussion about Sirianni and Belichick.
Uh-huh.
Man, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you. Hey, Hugh, I was like you. You know, like, I called him Belichick. I couldn't stand him. I didn't care nothing about him because – I think legitimately they cheated us out of one Super Bowl before they got caught in the camera gate or whatever the hell you call it back in the day. But now that I've seen his personalities, after oh my God, he's got some personality. He's not like freaking Darth Vader, you know, around here. And he's kind of grown on me. So I would welcome him here when they get the chance. But I just don't think that that it's probably the right time. Right now, now here's the thing. If he was able to come, like, right now, yes.
Right but now today, Bruce. He packs his bag. He gets on a train. He's here tonight. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm good with it.
There
I'm
we go. Then now we're getting somewhere, Bruce.
I'm good with it because it's still early in the season, and a lot of the stuff that needs to be done at the coaching and the strategic level is actually fixable now, but if it goes on, let's say, like, after the bye, it's going to be too late, I think, to bring him in. And it will be best, you know, just to leave that alone until the end of the season. And we're just going to have to, unfortunately, ride this wave out with Sirianni until then. Because, see, when you look at this situation between that and the issue, I think the other biggest thing is J.H. and the play calling on the offensive side. Those are the two things right now that need some work. And Sirianni brings nothing to the table. So I'm just hoping and praying that they figure it out during the bye. And, you know, we'll see where things go when they get their weapons back and go from there.
Yeah,
so.
And they should have – and, Bruce, we appreciate him. And they should have him back, you would think, after the bye. I mean, A.J. seemed like he was kind of close to playing this week. He didn't.
Yeah.
Devontae
was
decided
to give him a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Another week because
well, they heard
of the,
you say it was a scheduled loss. I mean, they just took your advice.
Hate to say it was a scheduled loss, but it just didn't look like it was going to favor us too much. It really, really didn't, man. And it's unfortunate that it played out the way that it did because now we're having these conversations. We asked for folks' jobs. We got podcasts going on. Folks calling out teammates. All this crazy.
Yeah, the Eagles are being pretty plant-based
anarchy.
Right now.
I got beef
anarchy.
With you now, Hill.
What'd I do?
Well, because Friday was, I'm not going to say it's a scheduled loss, and all of a sudden it's like, I told you. Told you it was
no,
a scheduled
I
loss.
I did not do that.
Pick a lane,
I did not
bro.
Do that. I did not
pick
do
a
that.
Damn lane,
I did not do
moving
that.
The line.
I didn't say that. I said there's a chance they can win, but it just looks like this is going to be a tough hill to climb.
As we get to know, as we get to know all the Hughes as the years go on, I have to say, I told you so. Hugh is becoming
I'm not hearing you. I told you so. I was just giving you
the intangible. Wait, after the Falcon game, you strutted in here like a peacock.
I did not strut in here like a peacock.
I told you so.
I did not do that.
After the Saints game, when you called a win and everyone was mad at you. You were right, and you said I told you.
Yeah, no, I was not.
It's pretty wild peacocking going on.
I put a lot of thought into these takes that I have, man.
And I know y'all might want to call them plant-based
and everything, but I think I am a deep thinker, whether you believe it or not. I have an agenda deeply. And so when I make these assessments and these predictions, it's not like I'm making them hoping that this is going
to
happen.
I'm just
laid it all out there for you.
I have an agenda. Is a tough one for me to have back here.
I know. You really set him up for that one.
I have an agenda. Not all the time.
Just sometimes.
Sometimes I'm agenda driven.
Yeah, and I am today. I'm agenda driven to get Bill Belichick to the Philadelphia. All right, let's take a call. And then Hugh has a personal, history with Bill Belichick. He was one of his coaches early on in his career. Hugh's take on Belichick from that perspective. We'll get that in a second. Well, let's take Mad Mike first. Mad Mike, what's up?
All right, Frank.
Oh, the studio audience is not happy. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Mike.
Go and have that conversation with Oliver, and I need to have this conversation with Renato.
I don't think he's talking to us. I think he's on the phone with somebody else.
Yeah, I think he's conducting some business. I think Mike and a lot of our callers, obviously, you call us during their work time, but that seemed like businessman, buttoned up, Zoom call, Mad Mike, didn't it?
I've never heard Mad Mike.
Like, sound like a grown-up.
Yeah,
that's like off-air Mad Mike.
Conducting himself like
a normal human being with a job and a family and all that kind of
stuff. I'm out on that, Mad Mike.
Yeah, we need the yelling and screaming and all that, Mad Mike. All right, Hugh, let's go to Hugh here instead. Hugh, you today, you said you don't want Belichick.
I don't.
And I wonder how much this is because during your time in New York, he was your coach.
No, he was my head coach for like a day.
What was it like having him just with you in New York?
He was pretty decent. He was really standoffish. The one thing that I remember about Coach Belichick was the fact that him and Eric Mangini were like locked. They were like in lockstep with one another. They were together every day. I remember when Belichick was on the treadmill, Eric Mangini was right there beside him. Eric Mangini used to do the breakdowns for the defensive play calling and everything. And the reason why our relationship went south, we had practice all of training camp. In a 4-3 defense. We had just drafted James Ferry. It was number one pick from, I think it was Virginia at the time. Young linebacker. We need a linebacker. And they drafted him. And I was just coming off of being the defensive rookie of the year, having 10 sacks and everything. So the second year when coach was there, we were running a 4-3 defense. Defense looked pretty good. Offense was humming. Had a pretty decent preseason. And right before the season started, we switched to a 3-4 defense. And I had, unfortunately, I was the defensive tackle in a 3-4.
Were you Milton Williams kind of in a sense?
Yeah, I was the end, but I was the end playing in a zero technique. I was like head up over the tackle. And my assignment was I had two gaps. I was two gapping for the most part. I'm two gapping at 260 pounds, and I'm getting manhandled out there. So, we were playing, and I kept telling him, this is not what I want to do. This is not the position I wanted to play. And Coach Belichick really wasn't an ally at the time. And I remember we beat the Cincinnati Bengals. We went to Cincinnati, and we won the game. And when our relationship went south, Coach Belichick shook everybody on the defense's hand for the performance that they had. And he came over, and he looked at me and went to shake my hand, and I just looked at him. Did not shake his hand, and I got up, and I walked away. And that was the beginning of the end for Hugh Douglas in New York. But as years progressed and I grew and I became more mature as a player, it felt like that wasn't his decision. That was more of a Parcells decision.
And he was the coordinator.
And he was the coordinator, right. And it was one of those things where he had to do what he had to do. We had a few words after that, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Belichick and what he's been able to accomplish over the years.
Feels like you became a square peg in a round hole in that.
Yes, in that situation, it was nothing that could be done about that. Sometimes it's bigger than just one individual, And that's what Coach Parcells knew. That's what he had success with. And when they got rid of me, they went on to make it to the AFC Championship
game. They did.
And I was sick.
Man,
James
we
Ferry
dumped Douglas
be,
and we started winning.
I tell you what, James Ferry turned out to be a really, really good linebacker too. He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, won a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so yeah, I mean it worked out for everybody.
Sure, and you got
situation.
To come here.
Yeah.
It actually did work out for.
But does you do anything for us?
I think you're missing something with this whole Belichick to the Eagles idea that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You just gave us your side of the story. Mm-hmm. We get him as the Eagles coach. He comes
he
on
tell
WIP.
His side, our side, his
and
side
he
of
can
story.
Tell his side. And we can all have fun together with him.
I tell you what. What we've known about Bill Belichick, Coach Belichick, as a head coach, he doesn't scream warm and fuzzy. I'm going to call the radio station every week and talk to Joe DeCameron, the morning crew. I don't feel like that's going to be the case.
I think
case.
He did do it in Boston, if I remember correctly. I don't know if it was warm and fuzzy. I mean, like, Doug was very personable. Nick, when they're winning, is personable. I'm not sure Bill will be, but, you know, he would do it, I think.
We're not thinking of me in this situation
uh-huh.
because Belichick is going to come nowhere close to giving us the kind of gold that Nick Sirianni does.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors here, right? So we have to think of the selfish factor for you, the selfish factor for all of us. We get the full extent of the story with Hugh there. I mean, there's benefits and there's pros and cons. There's also cons to keeping Sirianni, which is they're 3-8 in their last 11 games.
I don't give a shit.
Well, I do. 215-592-9494. Chuck in Mount Airy. What's up, Chuck?
Chuck.
Yo, Gilio, what's the dealio?
What's up, man?
Hey,
how
Chuck.
You doing?
Hey, listen, it's Red October, man. And I called to get a Phillies a message. It's unfinished business, okay? We coming to the playoffs this year. And I tell you one thing. We doing one thing only. And that's to shove the foot up anybody's ass who wants some. I don't care about the Mets.
Belts the ass.
I don't care about the Brewers. I don't care about none of them. It's unfinished business. This is Bryce Harper's legacy year, okay? And I tell you, hey, you know what? Give me some music, Cal. You get everybody else music. Give me some music, Cal, for Red October. Thank you. Let me tell you what we're doing right now, okay? We're coming into Red October. Unfinished business. We tired of being the hunter. We are going to be the hunter this year. We hunt everybody down. 3 in a row, 4 in a row. Get the World Series and another 4, okay? I'm telling you, I'm the originator of this type of stuff. And it's fully listening. We need a parade on 4th Street. We need thousands of
you heard
down 4th Street. We need thousands of us driving the pool. Come in and ask over. I want everybody to listen. Everybody to tear it down. Any team that come in here, that is the food. That is the best. This is the time. Right towards the championship. You need to solidify this fully crazy. And this is the time. I need everybody to get behind. Craig Turner, Kyle Schwarber, Bo, Van Jackson, and Paul, Aaron Nolan. I need for all y'all to back him, okay? Craig is the leader going into this gladiator thing right now. And I tell you right now, we are going to hunt everybody down. It's tight for everybody. And I tell you, champions this year. If we don't get it done this year, it ain't no year we gonna get it done. This is the year. Unfinished business. Remember what Arizona did that last year. MLCF out. World Series out. Time to win. I'm out. Peace. Woo!
That was great.
I got some goosebumps listening to Chuck there.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
And you know what? He's right about one thing he said. He's right about everything there. But at the end, this is now or never. And I don't want the Phillies to go in tight to the playoffs, but I hope in the
you
back of their mind.
You have to understand the weight of the moment.
Exactly. That I hope they all recognize the gravity of the moment without pressure, you know, putting pressure on themselves. This is the year. This is the moment for this group to win the World Series. Now.
I was, we've been talking offline. I'm nervous.
I know you are.
I'm like nauseous.
I know you are.
About this whole thing. That got me fired up.
Oh,
I mean,
I can't wait.
Hit like the perfect crescendo of the song
with the World Series part. He's a pro. Yeah.
He nailed that. That was really well done.
He's a pro caller. I mean, there's a reason Chuck is what he is. I mean, he's right about the intensity. I can't wait for just the intensity of Citizens Bank Park. Just listening and watching some of that Mets Braves game, it hit me. Like, we're in October now. The playoffs start today. And boy, it is a lot less stressful to have to start in the division round, the division series here, because the last 2 years we started today. Like, we were facing the Marlins last year in the wild card round. 2 years ago it was the Cardinals. It's like I can relax for a few days and just kind of watch this thing and see how it plays out before we got our first game Saturday.
Yeah, but at the same time, and I hate to be that guy because we just had all this good mojo.
You're going
to
be that guy?
No, but I'm saying, man, there's something, you know, the rest versus rust thing. I mean, I hate to be the guy to bring it up, but it's the truth. You kind of worry about that a little bit, especially when you talk about the history of baseball over the last couple of seasons.
Zero worry over here.
Okay.
Zero.
Okay, I'm just saying.
You're not the only one.
I brought some folks down by saying
that.
I tell
you every day, the people in our studio audience back there pay good money for those tickets. They come in here and you let them down.
I didn't mean to do it, but I mean, it's you know, I was a drunk uncle at the barbecue today. I'm sorry.
I'm not worried about the layoff. I mean, I know I recognize what's happened the last 2 years since they started this format. Three of the four teams have lost. But I think they're going to be fine. They're going to have a workout tomorrow. We'll talk a lot about this.
Didn't they do the simulated game?
It's either today or tomorrow they're doing the simulated game. We'll get to this a lot the next couple of days. We start looking forward here to the Phillies. If we're worried about the layoff and the opponents and all that stuff, it's a veteran team. And, you know, a couple of years ago, they did have a pretty long layoff between the end of the World Series, which was end of the NLCS, which was Sunday of that, when Ranger closed it out against the Padres before they started the World Series Friday night in Houston, and they won Game 1. I think they're going to be okay here with us. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Andy in Westchester. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, buddy?
Not too much. I got to tell you, that was my favorite Mad Mike phone call ever. You just had.
When he wasn't there, and it was him being normal Mad Mike, not here?
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I was thinking about this Nick Sirianni thing, and the more I hear about it, the more I wonder, like, he's been nothing but professional, nothing but mature through everything, and he's just getting the crap beaten out of him. I'm wondering how much, you know, respect the team has for Jalen at this point. He's acting like a baby. He's like, just seems like he's just trying to torpedo Sirianni with everything he says.
Here, what do you think about that? You think the team could start saying, hey, Jalen, like, what are you doing here?
I think Jalen's one of the guys, and I'm pretty sure that there are some guys that probably question some of the things that he's done, but for the most part, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, I guess I'm losing respect for him is what it comes down to, because it's just not mature, it's not professional the way he's been, going about things.
I agree with that, Andy, specifically when it comes to Sirianni. I mean, like, he has opportunities over and over to praise this guy or to just get him off the hook the way Sirianni does for him. I mean, Sirianni does it all the time. Like, he takes – just the other day, just yesterday, he's talking about how the turnovers are a team stat. I mean, they are, but they're not really. Not when the quarterback
stat,
is throwing the ball, is dropping the ball and fumbling it.
Yeah, but I mean, he does it for everybody, though. It's just he has the whole team's back all the time, it seems like. And everybody else, you know, treats him the same way. It's just this one guy. And the more I think about it, the more I listen to everybody, the more I feel for Sirianni versus Jalen. Not that I'm saying he's a great coach. I think he's okay, but it can't be helping anything the way he's, you know, this isn't news. But, and then just moving on to Belichick from there, I don't think it would be a good idea right now to do it. One of the things I mentioned to Kyle that I question is everybody's talking about as a coach. Yeah, Belichick, I think, would be something great, but is he going to be willing to give up the power to Howie? And if not, everyone's talking about what a crappy GM he's been the last couple of years. Do you really want him as your GM?
I wouldn't in that case, Andy. So my, and Andy, we always previously called, the way I would do this is it would be this. Belichick, you come in here, you coach the team. I mean, that's it. Like, if you want power, we're not doing that here.
But what if he wants more?
Like, as time goes on?
No, what if he wants more out the gate?
Then I would say no.
What if I told you that part of the reason why they didn't take him in Atlanta is because he wanted to do all of that?
I think you're probably right on that.
Yeah.
But maybe he didn't get a job. Has he been humbled a little bit? Has he? No one hired him. Maybe he's ready to just take a coaching job. That would be my offer if I were to do it. All right, 215-592-9494. Would you move on from Sirianni? Would you fire Sirianni today and hire Belichick today? I would. Would you? We'll get to your phone calls. Plus, we have to get some potentially alarming audio from Vic Fangio for his presser today. You got to hear this about what they expected versus what they got versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's next. Your calls. It is the Midday Show. We'll also chat with our guy Ross Tucker on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What bothered you the most from, I guess, the first quarter and a half Sunday?
Yeah, they came out throwing, obviously, and throwing quick, and we weren't close enough. We played a lot more man in those first three series than we usually do, or we were in some tight matchup zones, and we just didn't play it good enough. Their pass offense was better than our pass defense.
Well, that's for sure, Vic. Well, thank you for that. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas Show, Jilly, the voice of Vic Fangio, their Eagles coordinator, spoke today.
Anybody. Steve Wonder could have saw that.
Yeah, you didn't need to see it. Could have just heard Burrow on the call. You would have known that. All right, so Vic spoke today as Eagles coordinator speaking today as the Eagles approach their bye week. Next week, they'll face the Cleveland Browns. We have more from Vic Fangio here. What else did Vic have to say today?
Vic, I'm curious as far as you know, how the defense can look so good one week against New Orleans and then come out to Tampa and not look the same. Why is that, do you think?
Well, it's a good question. You know, they came out throwing real fast, real quick, and we weren't tight enough. And we fell behind the chains because of that. And it just kind of snowballed. We never couldn't make the play to get them the second and 10 or third and 10. And it just never happened.
Did that strike you as him putting it on the players? We couldn't make the play. I mean, Vic doesn't make plays.
A little bit.
Yeah. Vic sits there and calls the defense. He said, we couldn't make the play.
Yeah, because you're talking about like a bunch of missed tackles.
Yeah, there were 18 of them.
Yeah, it was a lot of missed tackles,
it's
man.
It's a lot.
And not being in position. You knew that they were going to come out because they had just given up like, what, 6 sacks the week before?
7, yeah.
So they were not going to let you kill their quarterback. Knowing that the defensive line, the way that they played last week, that's football 101. Mm. You know, if you have a good game and you have a bunch of sacks the week before, you're going to have to work that much harder the following week because teams see that. They see that on film. We're not going to let you tee off on their quarterback.
It's kind of the same thing that happened to the Eagles when they faced the Falcons. You were saying that after week one because the Falcons' offensive line got beat up, and then it's like, well, they're going to have pride. They're not going to let it happen 2 weeks in a row. We keep running into that. You know what I mean? Like, we keep facing the team off their down week, and then they get right against
us. You have to know. And this is how I would attack every week. Teams that give up a lot of sacks the week before, you're going to have to work that much harder the following week because they're not about to let you, especially if you're known as a team that gets after the quarterback. Mm. They're not about to let you tee off on their quarterback. They're not going to do that.
And on top of that, we're a team whose best pass rusher is in the middle with Jalen Carter, right? So they're going to get
They're definitely not going to let him tee off.
Right. They're going to get rid of the football as quickly as they can. Mad Mike, who wouldn't be mad if Belichick was here. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
How you doing today?
Well, we're just trying to figure things out.
Did you take care of business?
Were you on a work call?
Yeah, you know, I'm a businessman. What can I say? I'm not just a psycho on the radio. I do work.
The difference is that's all I am, is actually this is my job. Go ahead, Mike.
So here's the thing, guys. I would love it if they fired that moron. And Hugh, he's a moron. And let's all just say it out loud. Nick Sirianni's a moron, and he's a puppet, and Howie Roseman put him there for a reason.
Moron,
but the reason they won't do it is because Bill Belichick would come in and immediately put his big mitt right in Howie Roseman's face and push him all the way back to the other side of the NovaCare complex, and that would be the end of that. So they're not going to do that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Mike. Until they're willing to hire a coach that they value their say and let them make those kind of decisions, it's probably not going to happen. They want the kind of coach that will just coach the team, and that's it.
And let's be honest here. This is all Howie Roseman's fault. Like, all of this is Howie Roseman's fault because Howie Roseman thinks he's a football guy. He drafts bad players. Name me one good draft that Howie Roseman's had where the pick hasn't been super high and everybody knew what the pick should be. He stinks at drafting. And you know what else he stinks at? Trades. He stinks at trades. We got Jannard Avery, Golden Tate, this bum from this year. I mean, he stinks out loud at trades. And most of the GM, anything that has to do with being a GM, other than giving out huge contracts to free agents, and what does he do?
Coming in hot.
Well, he is today.
I mean, think about that. Like, he's really ruined this team. Like, he got lucky one year where he put a bunch of talent and they had the easiest schedule. And no one wants to admit that. But 2022 was a mirage because they had the world's easiest schedule against a bunch of nobodies. and they're like, oh, it's Howie season, Howie season. You're all mouth breathers, Delaware Valley. Howie season's canceled forever. Fire Howie Roseman.
No, we're not there yet, Mad Mike. Mad Mike, we preached the call. I'm getting rid of the coach. It's not Howie yet. I do expect the Heat to turn up on Howie if this continues, though, Hugh. That's natural. We go in cycles with Howie here, right? Three, four years ago, I'm looking across the Schuylkill here, and we have the Fire Howie sign. Then the next year, they're in, 2 years later, they're in the Super
now
Bowl.
Now he's the man.
So it goes in cycles. Here's what I'll say about Howie. I think his drafting is probably...
suspect?
I would say it's probably closer to middle of the NFL than bad, but there's been some bad ones. There's no question. And there's been some mistakes here they've made. I mean, I'm watching the Sunday night game on Sunday with the Ravens and the Bills, and I'm watching Kyle Hamilton fly all over the field, probably the best safety in the league right now, and we took Jordan Davis over him. I mean, there's just no question who's the better player right now. It's Kyle Hamilton. So we could point to those, how he's made mistakes. I used to think Howie was really good at trades. I mean, Kyle, he used to win trades all the time. I mean, when he got Jay Ajayi, helped him win the Super Bowl, the Darren Sproles trade. I mean, he won a lot of trades. I would say the last few years, Howie's track record in trades for players, and I don't mean trades in the draft. I mean established players. It's not gone as well. I mean, there's
been really bad.
Who was last year the safety? Kevin Byard?
Yes, Byard.
It was a waste of time.
Awful.
He's playing well in Chicago, isn't he?
I didn't even realize. I know he's on Chicago. I don't know if he's playing well or not. But it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, there's the Jannard Avery's of Jannard the world. Avery.
Like, no, I was just it's that when you said his name, it just automatically made me think of that.
Well,
so,
the
yeah.
Jahan Dotson one looks like a joke right now. The Commanders dumped him, and they have the best offense in the league right now, and we spent a third-round pick.
We're still trying to figure out how to get him the ball.
Can't get him the ball.
When's the last time Howie made a trade that you were like, wow, this is a lot better of a player than I expected him to be? I mean, maybe A.J. Brown, but you knew he was a great player.
Yeah.
You might not have known he was this great.
Right, and they probably paid either fair price or they got him for cheap, considering how good he is.
But
okay, that was a good one.
We're left disappointed most of the time with his trades as opposed to, like, surprised lately.
Well, because he keeps getting big names, like Dotson, right? First-round pick. We know him from Penn State. And we're like, oh, wow, he stole him. But I remember we had this discussion the day it happened. Like, is there more to this story than we don't know about?
Why was a little leery.
Yeah, why would the Commanders give a former first-round pick to the Eagles in their division? I am not ready to fire Howie. I like Howie. I think Howie will rebound. He's rebounded before. But we can be fair. Some of this is on him, Hugh. I mean, he put together this team.
Yeah, he put together the groceries, and he has the guys on this squad. And right now, for whatever reason, it's trending in the wrong direction. I still believe in this team. Let me say that first and foremost. I still believe in this team. But there's a lot of questions that have still not been answered, like the one about the coach and the quarterback. I thought this went away, and I was on board with going into this season thinking that everything was behind them. But the adversity early on has shown that that is not the case.
You know what the other day was? Your favorite analogy.
What's that?
Like the toilet seat, and then 3 months later you bring it up.
You're still bringing it back up. Yeah, that was yesterday.
That was Jalen.
Whatever it is, Jalen's not over it.
No, that's not a great analogy. I'm sorry.
Well, that's one of our favorites.
It's an awesome analogy.
Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Yo, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
How we doing,
what up,
buddy?
At first I told Kyle that I would have, first of all, Slade is an idiot, man. Like, for Sirianni to go in there and say, oh, well, he does have a hell of a resume. Sirianni's so stupid, too. You don't do that during the season, because like Hugh said, you got to go to the locker room and you got to face CJ, and we all know that all hell could break loose. This team already has a problem with their morale and their culture already since last season. Now, at first I was saying, I told Kyle I would bring Belichick in right now, but I will wait just to see how Sirianni plays this season out and see what he does. Because
he's like, give him to after the bye week.
Yeah, I'll give him a little time, you. Because here's the thing: him and Jalen don't have time to have egos, especially Jalen Hurts. To hear him say, "Oh, we have our moments," Jalen, you haven't played well enough to have any moments during nothing. You guys need to get on the same page after what happened for last year. Jalen Hurts, you haven't played well at all, man. And for you to have this ego, I feel like since the San Francisco 49ers smacked us around, we had no identity on either side of the ball. They took our lunch. You know how you're in school and a bully takes your lunch every day
Debo.
When you come to school?
Yeah, Debo.
We got Debo by the 49ers, and we haven't got our chain back. They haven't got the chain, the grandmom chain back from Debo.
They have looked shook since then, Terrence.
They look shook since then.
I think since the day the Niners came in here, they're 3-8, and they've been outscored by almost 100 points.
And for Sirianni, like, bro, Stop trying to be one of the bros. Like, your job on the line. Stop trying to be cool with these guys. Your team is not coming out. They haven't come out. They don't look good. But I'm going to hear you keep saying, we got to do better. Jalen Hurts in a press conference, I got to do better. It sounds like the same story from Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. This is like deja vu. And I'm getting tired of the product on the field. I'm going to see you guys play harder. Or this team is going to go into rails, man. There's too many good teams out there, and there's too many up-and-coming echelon. You look at the Detroit Lions, they look like a complete football team, both mm-hmm. sides of the ball. And we don't look nothing near that right now. And the bye week, I hope we get healthy, and I hope we get an identity, because Jalen Hurts is not a – you're not a franchise quarterback. You had Goddard, and you had Barkley. We had a chance in that game to win that game. We had a chance to go down 7, and what happens? You turn the ball over. You got to make a difference, Hurts, and so far you haven't.
He has not. Terrence, appreciate the phone call. You know, it's funny, as Terrence brought us back to the Wentz-Doug stuff,
mm-hmm.
as this year goes on, Hugh, if they're only an okay team or they're not very good, you know, whatever, we're going to discuss who's got to go, who's going to be here next year.
Mm-hmm.
The last time we did this in 2020, the conversation in Philadelphia was who goes, Doug or Carson? You know what the Eagles' answer was? Both.
Got them out of here.
They got them both out of here. So, like, there's going to be this thing. Whose fault is it? Would it shock anyone if 2 years from now neither of these guys are here?
Not given the track record. Not given the way that they've handled things before. It's unfortunate because this feels like it was a match made in heaven about a year or two ago, and it felt like they were trending in the right direction. And somewhere along the line, and none of us can pinpoint it, it just feels like this relationship went south. It went south.
Is the next head coach going to call Jalen Hurts and Jalen's going to tell him I'm not coming back? Oh, like Carson Wentz did today.
I don't think he'll do that. I don't know. A lot of what has happened over the last, I'm going to be honest, over the last couple of days, it's been kind of surprising, given what this team has gone through, given the fragile state that this locker room is in. There's a lot of surprising things that have happened over the last couple of days, and I'm just like, wow.
I guess I'm not as surprised. I just feel like the foundation is shaky. I mean, like, they could survive. Again, I don't think any of us think the NFC is going to be one with 12 wins this year, but it just feels like this thing's on shaky ground.
It's surprising from the standpoint of, you know, what Jalen said, that's Jalen to a certain extent. You hate that he said it, but he's been kind of on brand. The one that kind of gets me is the Darius Slay one. The Darius Slay one. The Devontae Smith one, I kind of understand. I don't agree with. Don't get it twisted.
What Devontae?
Devontae.
No, not Devontae. What did I say? I meant Devin White. Yeah,
Devin White.
You scared me, man.
Yeah, my fault. Devontae Smith. Yeah, my fault. My bad, everybody.
No, Devontae's good.
Yeah, Devin White.
The worst thing Devontae does is root for the Celtics. We're good with that.
Because
not big deal.
Devin White is in a situation where he's upset. We still don't know why he's not even dressing.
So before you go on, I did see a quote today. Michael Clay, special teams coach, talked today, and he was asked why Devin isn't being used on special teams. Like, why can't they get him in uniform and use him in some realm? And he I'll find the quote, but he said it's like an organizational thing that everyone's got to be on the same page. I'm paraphrasing, but the whole thing with Devin White, is very odd.
Yeah, it is. And that is weird. So I kind of – he doesn't get a pass – but he's in his feelings right now. So you kind of get that. And like I said, the Slay thing is the one. There's no way on God's green earth that I would feel comfortable going on a podcast with anybody in our division and talking about any of my teammates, about anything, and having their name come up. I would immediately move off of that and say, hey, I can't talk about somebody else's situation. Can't
I agree. Yeah, it's not something a good teammate in my mind would do. Right, let's go to our next guest here as we discuss an Eagles team that's 2-2. You know what that's? You know what that means here. You know,
death by a thousand cuts. I caught that one. Is that a Katy Perry song?
Not Katy Perry.
Excuse me,
Ross Tucker.
I'm sorry.
With us here. Ross, put him in his place.
I didn't screw it up
Ross,
the interview
how
already.
Doing, Ross?
I'm sorry.
No,
Ross.
now it's a bit. Now he's fooling.
No.
Here's Ross, player radio over
Ross, I
now
promise.
You're doing this on
I'm not. I promise you, Ross. I didn't. I just said Devontae Smith and I meant Devin White. I get names mixed up.
No, he does. Well, also, Ross, at one point he told me he thought Katy Perry and Taylor Swift looked alike,
no,
and I said, they do not.
They, I mean,
Other than their hair color, eye color, face.
I know,
physique,
Ross, I didn't,
other than that, they're like twins.
Ross, I didn't mean to come on here and trigger you. I promise you, that was not what I was trying to do. I promise you, I apologize. That was a mistake on my part. That was a mistake. Definitely a mistake on my part.
All right, let's find something we could all be triggered by. The Eagles, Sunday. Ross, what did you make of that as they go out and they get, it was not competitive for the first quarter and a half against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, I think that what you just said, Joe, is one of their biggest issues, right? Like, the things that jump out to me are Hurts' turnovers. The defense has really only been good, I think you could say, one game. But they're getting off to horrible starts. I mean, they're the only team in the NFL that hasn't scored in the first quarter yet. And if you remember, when they've had success, certainly 2022, but even a decent amount of 2023, they jumped on people. And whatever Shane Steichen, who was the coordinator in 02, whatever he had for that opening script, I felt like they scored every game. I mean, it felt like they scored a touchdown or field goal every game on the opening drive. They were always playing with a lead. You know how the Bucs in the second half were just teeing off on Hurts and they got a bunch of sacks? The Bucs did to the Eagles on Sunday what the Eagles need to be doing to other teams and what the Eagles do to other teams when they're really playing well.
Ross Tucker with us here. Ross at Ross Tucker NFL. Check it out there. His daily takes on the Eagles, the Ross Report. All right, Ross, so it was not good. It was not competitive. And now we're starting to try to unpack this thing as what this team is. Ross, 2-2 at the bye, but 3-8 in their last 11 back to last year. I mean, what do you make of them right now? And should we recalibrate our expectations for this team, this roster?
You know, it's interesting because I know a lot of people keep bringing up what they are going back to last year. I understand because of the collapse into the last year why people are bringing it up, but that, I don't really care about last year that much anymore. I mean, that they have two new coordinators. Their coordinators at the end of last year were a disaster, and it's the biggest reason why they collapsed like that. They have two coordinators that I think are better, but I'm not sure that either one of those guys has been as good as I was hoping as of yet. And Kellen Moore or Vic Fangio, although I still think there's significant upgrades over what they had at the end of last year. And then, you know, to me, you know, Saquon, they got a lot of new guys, right? 2-2 is disappointing. I think 3-1, we all probably would feel pretty good about given the injuries. I mean, they didn't have arguably their three best offensive players. Now, obviously, Saquon has become one of those now this year, but A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Lane. I mean, did anybody really think they were going to win the game? I didn't. I didn't pick them to win. I picked the Bucs to win.
Joe thought
2-2 after these four games. I mean, they've lost to, or they played three other teams that are 2-2. They played a 3-1 team. They're 2-2. They won a game without their best offensive player and then losing two more in it on the road. They've only played one home game. I think everybody needs to relax a little bit. Let's see how they look coming out of the bye. I'd expect A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Lane Johnson to all be back, and I think they have a chance to really start to go on a run after that. Now, if they don't, you know, if they get those guys back and they're still having major issues, then that's a problem. And the other problem is none of those guys I just mentioned play defense, and their defense got torched on Sunday.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, the defense has been 3 out of 4 games, not very good. Ross, what's their biggest issue on defense? Is this a scheme thing? You know, on Sunday, it felt like the Bucs just got the ball out quickly, and the Eagles didn't get a pass rush or stay up on the receiver, so it was easy pitch and catch. Is this more scheme, or do you say, hey, Vic's hands are tied, there's just not enough talent on the defense?
No, I don't feel that way. I think there is enough talent. I really do. I mean, you know, Blankenship's played pretty well. I like their safeties with Blankenship and Gardner Johnson. I like their corners. That doesn't mean they're perfect. You know, Quinyon got beat once or twice. Slay got beat. But I still think that those guys are above average as a pair. I think the linebackers are below average. And I think that's really shown up against the Falcons, where I thought Vaughn got cut down on the outside zone scheme like 6 times. And obviously, N'Kobe Dean really struggled, as we all saw on Sunday. So the linebackers are below average. We probably knew that coming into the year. I think that maybe the biggest issue is the D-line is average, and they have invested resources in that group such that they need to be above average. So there's a, I mean, all of those things all work in conjunction, as you guys know. But I would say they do have enough talent. The talent that they brought in particular on the defensive line, is not good enough and or consistent enough. They need to be dominant, and they're not. I mean, they've been dominant one out of the four games.
Speaking of that defensive line, what are you seeing from Bryce Huff? Why is he not able? I know this weekend probably wasn't the best weekend to ask this question because Baker got rid of the ball so fast. But what are you seeing from Bryce Huff as a pass rusher?
Yeah, so, I mean, he's not a run player, so we know that. But and I think I said this to you guys maybe a week or two ago. Go back and watch his sacks for the Jets last year. You can't fake double-digit sacks. I mean, Hugh, you did it for a long, long time. You can't get double-digit sacks by accident. He is a very good rusher when that's all he's asked to do. One of the issues for the Eagles, they really haven't had a lead enough that they've been able to put the other team in obvious passing situations where he can go get it. Now, that being said, there were times against Atlanta where they had those opportunities, and he and the other guys weren't able to get to Cousins. They weren't able to affect him. But I think at this point, I would sort of make him a designated rusher. It's remarkable to me, remarkable, that in year 15, at age 36, Brandon Graham has been their best defensive end, their best edge player so far this year. I mean, at this point, I'd be already talking about trying to get BG to come back next year based on how the other guys are playing.
Ross, how would you assess the play of Hurts through four games? We were discussing earlier, it feels right now to both of us that we can't say anything more than he's an average quarterback at this stage, you know, so far this season.
Yeah, I think I would say it's a little disappointing. I really thought a lot of the issues that he had last year were as a result of the coordinator change and the coordinator issues, but I feel like I'm watching a lot of the same things. You know, one of the biggest positives about Jalen Hurts that we talked about all the time was that he just doesn't turn the football over. This was 2021 when he wasn't doing a great job throwing the ball, but he was running it well and he wasn't turning it over. Game of 2022, I'm not sure how that changed. I remember thinking, all right, he's a coach's kid, played for his dad in high school, played for Saban. It's been really ingrained in his head to take care of the football. That has not been the case. And it has made a huge difference in these games. It's very, very disappointing. And I would say, in general, he's not like a Josh Allen or a Mahomes or one of these guys that's able to make up for the turnovers, you know, with the spectacular. I think he needs to just play a consistent, solid game and not turn it over. There are still times where his pocket movement is disappointing to me. Not getting rid of the ball is disappointing, escaping too early. And so what I think the discussion is, I'm a huge believer, guys, huge believer in that players can get better, players get worse. I think now that it's, you know, another coordinator, now that it's whatever, I'm starting to wonder if this is just who Jalen Hurts is and we have to accept the positives with the negatives, although it's hard to say that when he didn't turn it over like this the first couple of years. You know, if he's been doing this the whole time, we could just say this is who he is. But this isn't who he was the first 2 years. That's what's got to be so frustrating.
It is, and it was my favorite part about him as a quarterback, and that's gone away now, which throws the whole thing into flux. Ross, we always appreciate hopping on. Have a great week, and we'll catch up next time. Thank you, Ross.
Have a good one.
Sounds great. Thank you guys so much for having me. Appreciate it.
There he goes. Ross Tucker, Ross Report, at Ross Tucker NFL, 215-592-9494. We'll do what we do every Tuesday on this show. Kiss the baby at 115. Your calls on the Eagles Plus. We'll update you on the latest with the Slay saga, and it's a saga. A recent post from CJGJ on that, and some great audio from Seth Joyner yesterday on Darius Slay. Coming up next, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Y'all know how much I love Hatfield bacon for breakfast. I can eat bacon all day. And now Hatfield has made it easier to enjoy a delicious breakfast with their new breakfast line. Savory breakfast ham slices, pork roll, juicy breakfast sausage links, and Canadian bacon. And soon in your grocery stores, frozen section, Hatfield's frozen sausage patties and links. Perfect for those busy mornings. Head to simplyhatfield.com to find it, find a retail location near you. Find your flavor with Hatfield.